Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. The title of our message tonight is Investing into Our Community. Investing into Our Community. And we're going to read this in verse number 19. And it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where whether neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we are delighted that we're able to be back here once again tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you have given all of us to be under the teaching of your word. God, I pray that you just speak to us again, be with our campers. Lord, I know some of them are watching right now. Some might watch it later on when they have a better reception. God, I pray that you'd use this to challenge them throughout this week. And we ask you these things, your name, amen. You know, we lay up our treasures here on earth, and God reminds us that when doing so, we see what takes place. And it says here, verse number 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Think about that shiny new car that you just bought. What's going to happen later on down the road with the winters that we have, with the amount of salt that they put on the road? What takes place with that shiny new vehicle? Well, it doesn't take long, especially if it's a Dodge or a Ford. They tend to break out into something that's called rust, and that's just what takes place. Chevys, they don't do that that much, but Fords and Dodge, they do a lot of those things. I don't know how that is. But anyway, you see rust taking place. It ruins the value of the vehicle. The value plummets drastically when that takes place. I was talking to Jeff this week, and his truck that he has that he pulls his trailer with for mowing, it's got some rust on the corner paddles. And he says, "Man, I'm looking for a box to replace this." I said, "Why is that?" He goes, "Because I don't like rust." And I know that about Jeff. He's had his body taken in several times with his vehicles and has that rust taken off and new paint put on there. But it doesn't matter how much you do it, the rust still comes back. It just eats through the car. And then it talks about where thieves break through and steal. None of us like to be stolen from, do we? I can remember when I first got married. It's been 26 years ago. And a lot of you folks don't know this, but I had a car, a sports car. I still love sports cars. Matter of fact, in my room, growing up on my bedroom wall, I used to have these big posters of Lamborghinis and Ferraris. Those were the cars for cool kids to look at and to dream about and to want to have those someday. And I came pretty close, and I had a Fiero GT 1987 with the coupe back windows and the spoiler on the back end. I mean, this thing was a sports car like you wouldn't believe. And I remember that car. I had a lot of fun in that thing. I used to drive that thing fast. Mom, forgive me, you're hearing this now for the first time. And I was not a slow driver in that car, because you can't be when it's a sports car. You have to drive it like it's fast. And so I did those things. I remember one time I was coming back from the zoo, and I was getting onto the interstate. And the traffic that I'm supposed to yield to was going slower than I wanted them to. And so I kind of got caught up in a traffic jam with them, and it didn't appeal to my style of driving back then. And so what I did, I noticed out of my right eye, I had a shoulder to drive on. And so I took that shoulder, and I drove right past everybody, got over just the nick of time before the bridge came up. But I remember loving that car and liking that car. But I remember one particular day as I went out to go to work. It was in the wintertime. Again, it was our first month being married. And I believe it was in the second month of February. In that time frame, I walked down into the laundry room where we lived. It was a Sherwood apartment. They had a laundry room on the second floor. So I walked down in there, and I looked at to see what the weather was like outside. And I knew where I parked my car, But my car wasn't there. And I was thinking to myself, what in the world is going on? Is somebody playing a trick on me? Well, come to find out, somebody stole my car. That's something that I treasured. That's something that I love. But someone came along, and they liked that car probably more than I did, and they took that vehicle from me. By the way, I found that vehicle probably 3 or 4 hours later. I kid you not, I found it before the cops did. I called the cops. I said, hey, I found my car that I reported. And they said, is it drivable? I said, yes, it's drivable. No windows are broke out, which is why I never lock my vehicles. That's me personally. Because if somebody wants something bad enough, they will break into it, get it regardless. So my windows, they were all intact. And the only thing that was bad on it was the steering column that was on there. But I was able to start that car by putting my finger underneath the steering column and pulling down the ignition. So I was able to take the car back home that direction. So the thieves, they came in and they took that from me, something that I treasured. And that's what takes place. The Sermon on the Mount here is being continued on here in chapter 6. And in this chapter, towards the very end that we just read, Jesus begins to describe what type of riches that we are to be invested in. So often in life, we lose perspective of what we really have been put here on earth for. We get lost in our own way of life, and when we get lost in our own way in life, we invest in the wrong things. God has given us something that we are to invest in, but we don't take that opportunity on many occasions. Some of us do, some of us don't. Some take it, some give it back. I believe we have become this way for a few reasons. One particular reason is the Word of God has no longer been important in their life. Number two, we have become too comfortable in this world that is just our stopping place for us. Again, you've heard me say on countless occasions, you've heard pastors say this, you've heard our missionaries say this, this world is not our home, exactly. We're just passing through. We're strangers, we're visitors, we're not citizens of this world. But we become too comfortable in this world that we are in, making this our home. And in a sense, some make this their heaven. Throughout the day, if the radio is on, and something that you got to know about me, I listen to a lot of preaching in the morning, and I listen to a lot of AM radio as well. I don't watch the news anymore. I have nothing to do with that. But I'll watch or I'll listen to some conservative radio stations. And I've noticed that throughout the day as they begin to air their stations and all those things, you begin to hear something that's called a commercial. It's their advertisement. Commercials, I've noticed, get more airtime than the actual show in and of itself. It seems like every 4 minutes they're going to commercial. And they do this for a reason. But one thing that I've become aware of is one commercial that is always being talked about in our society right now, and that's investments. People wanting you to invest your money into their company so that you can have a better retirement. This is particularly designed to the soon-to-be or already retired person. We got a soon-to-be retiree coming in our midst. Charlie's going to be retiring here in the next couple of months, Lord willing. And he's going to have a different lifestyle. And I know what has led up to this is planning on their part, investments on their part. And so these are designed for the soon-to-be or already retired person. So with these companies, their main concern is for the person to have properly invested their retirement money. This is extremely important because the wrong investments will cause you to run out of money and put you back into the workforce. I have heard about this and I've seen this on a few occasions where people have invested their money in the wrong thing. They've lost everything that they've had and they've had to go back out into the workforce at a later age in life when they should be sitting on their porch sipping some iced tea or sipping some lemonade and going about their day. To be a part of the right investment group is vital to long-term retirement. So you want to be around the right people who have the right interests for you. And when this happens, you'll more than likely have become very thankful for their time, for their investment into you, and their involvement in their life. in your life at that time, and perhaps, maybe down the road, you might become good friends. I have a point that I'm trying to make with this. Jesus here gave us some fatherly advice when it comes to investing in our riches. Again, let's read 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. First of all, he tells us not to lay up our treasures where? In earth. Then he follows up and tells us to lay our treasures up where? In heaven. So we're thinking monetarily here, earth, we're thinking of our money. But Jesus here goes on and says, but lay for yourselves treasures in heaven. What do you think of, or what comes to your mind when you think of treasures? The first thing that I think in my mind, when I think of treasures, is other people. That's what comes to my mind. So he gives us some fatherly advice on how to invest in our riches. He talks of the danger of getting caught up into earthly riches. He is rather more concerned with the heavenly riches, meaning what can you bring to heaven with you? Do you know that when you go to heaven, you bring yourself, but you can also bring other things with you, which I call treasures, and that's who? That's other people. There have been some pretty amazing people, besides my parents, who have took time to invest their lives into mine. Many people. I'm going to name a few of them tonight because they've been very instrumental in my life. And I look back upon their teachings that they gave me as a young person that has still impacted me to this day. They left a lifelong impression on my life because they saw me as a treasure. And because they saw me as a treasure, they invested their time. Sometimes they would invest their money. Sometimes it's just their time that they probably didn't have, so that I can have a better relationship with God. By the way, with that being said, I understand this. I grew up in a pastor's home. I grew up in a believer's home. I didn't always listen to mom and dad. But I will tell you this. The people that mom and dad put underneath us as far as teachers, not only in school, but our Sunday school teachers, had a tremendous impact on my life. And as I look back, I'm so grateful for their time, and I'm so grateful for their love for me that they demonstrated to me, and not only to me, but to other folks as well. I want you to understand something. At times, the preacher's kids could be easily forgotten about in the church. No different than us forgetting about other believers' kids that are in the church, because sometimes we tend to put our focus upon the ones that their parents aren't here. So sometimes it's easily be forgotten. Sunday school classes at this time, I was thankful for my teachers that didn't allow this to happen. Years ago, I'm going to reminisce here. It's one thing I like to do. I'm so fortunate, and I know my brothers and sisters, they laugh at me. Well, I don't remember that. Well, that's because you weren't there. This is my memory. We all have different memories of things, and that's fine. Some of us exaggerate our stories a little bit, but this is my memory. Years ago, at the old storefront building, is there a few folks in here that was at the old storefront building on 33rd and Avenue A? That was years ago. I remember that place very well. The stories that I heard about that place from my dad from the pulpit outright just scared me like you wouldn't believe. There was a basement that, if I remember correctly in my mind, there was a basement door that stood directly behind my father on his left-hand side as he was standing there preaching to us. And I can remember on different occasions that he would say, it's dark in that basement, it's a scary basement, and I thought he said at times, the devil lives down there. For years that we were there, I was scared to death that the devil actually lived in the church. It floored my mind. I was scared to death to go to that door by myself. I was even scared to death just to even peek my head down that door, which I never did. So I thought for years that the devil actually existed in that church. You got to understand, I'm a young kid at this point in time, and that's how my mind would wander. So it just scared the fire out of me. But here on the serious side, there's one night there that stuck out to me very particular from a person at our church. There was a knock on our door years ago We lived on 20th and Avenue D. That's where we grew up until I was about the age of 10. And when I turned 10, that's when we moved over here next door, and they've been there ever since. And there was a knock on our door, and there was a little she wasn't old at the time, but there's a little old lady that arrived at her door by the name of Mrs. Miracle. Mrs. Miracle was a Sunday school teacher at our church, and I remember her knocking on her door, and she came to the door for this very reason. She wanted Wayne to feel special because apparently he missed out on something that the rest of her class did that particular day. And me being the younger brother, being close in age with Wayne, we're only a year and so many months apart, and I was able to tag along with Mrs. Miracle and her husband at this time to accompany Wayne to where they were going to take us. I believe they might have taken us back to the church. My memory's kind of foggy in that, but that doesn't really matter. What I remember that night, I remember the rain. It was pouring down like you wouldn't believe, and it was dark outside, and where we got to our place of destination, and they invested their time into us. They made us feel very special. What took place that night was, apparently they did a hand sculpture for the class that day. Any of you guys remember those things? You fill up a little paper plate full of like clay that you can put your hand in, and then you have a molding of your hand. I remember her doing that night with Wayne and myself. And we put our hand in that clay, and we made that molding. You know what's very special about that memory right now? I'm going to share this with you. That molding of my brother's hand is still in my father's basement to this very day. I don't know where mine's at. Mine probably got broke and ended up in the trash there. But that memory sticks out to me, and it makes it even more special now because it's sitting in the basement of my father and my mother's house right now. I also remember at the very end of that, they made us feel very special. Not only doing that, but they gave us one of the biggest Hershey bars that I can ever remember receiving as a kid. You know, as a kid, everything seems big to you. And I get the king-size Hershey bars nowadays, and I'm thinking to myself, where'd the rest of it go? Who stole it from me? I paid $5 for this, and I'm only getting a little bit of a bite. But anyway, I was thankful for those memories for this reason, because they invested time into us because they considered us treasures in their life. And it's been very dear to me since this day. Some of you folks might know this lady, some of you might not. Mrs. Hager, godly woman. She was another little short lady, had a very loving attitude, just a sweet lady. It's hard to describe her. The way she looked at you made you feel loved and made you feel important. She had taught me a very valuable lesson in life. And what she did for me has impacted me in my life beyond belief. She had very little. She wasn't a rich person. She had very little. She reminded me a lot of my wife's grandma, to be honest with you, who was willing to give you things that she didn't really have. But she did something to me and taught me something that I'll never forget. She might not have had much, but what she did have, Shelley, was a love for a snotty-nosed kid. And she showed that. Not only did she show that in her teaching, but she showed that just in the way that she handled the kids throughout the class. And not only did I see it in my own life, but I've seen her demonstrate that to all the kids that was underneath her as her students. She gave and she showed us love. She didn't have wealth. She didn't have fame. But what did she do to invest in my life? She taught me how to love. And I appreciate so much. And one of these days when we're called home, I'm going to be able to thank Mrs. Hager for the love that she had for me and think of me as a treasure in her life. I'm going to name another individual. I don't really like dropping names because it feels as if there's so many people that have taught me throughout the years that you're not able to know or understand. But another individual, his name is Dallas. Dallas Legit, to be the fact here. Many of you don't know this, but for years he was our youth leader. I remember back in the day when he first came in, he had a youth class. It was pretty big. It was a good size, and they did a lot of activities. But when I got to that youth class, it was just my brother and another young man by the name of Donnie McDermott. It was just the three of us. But he did something for us that has impacted me to this day, and it's something that he didn't really have a lot of in his life, and that was time. He invested his time into us. Even though it was small, he invested his time. What he did for me has stuck with me as well, and that's to invest my time into others, to think of them as treasures in my life, to help them along the way, to further their relationship with God. You guys don't know this, but I can remember on several different occasions when we used to have visitation on a weekly basis. We're doing it once a month now. We used to do it on a weekly basis. The teenagers used to go out, and there was Dallas Lidget taking us kids to other people's houses to knock on the door to invite people to church. That's important to me because he invested his time into me. What I am trying to paint here so vividly is, where are you setting up your treasures? Where are you setting up your treasures? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Our way of thinking has become so westernized, it has ruined on how we should really be. It truly has. Life isn't about our earthly treasures. It's so much more than that. It's about where we are properly laying up our treasures. These teachers that I had just described showed me where their heart was at that time, and was instilling the gospel in my life so that I too could have the Jesus that they had in their life. And I'm eternally grateful for that. You know, sometimes we don't always listen to our parents, but God places very influential people in our lives to be a part of our lives for a reason. And I thank God for those things. Another name that I didn't mention, the name of Mike McDonald. You guys will probably never know him until you get to heaven. A tremendous, tremendous impact in my life. I have such great respect for him. But unfortunately, he let the world come back into his life. Went out of this world becoming a drunkard and a drug addict once again. But God got a hold of his life before all that. Changed him tremendously. You know what that taught me? Don't go back to the lifestyle that God saved you from. Tremendous picture to that to be learned from as well. Today we live in a world that we have become so focused on the temporary things in life. Everything that we see around here is temporary. But here's how we think. We need bigger paychecks so that we can have bigger homes, so that we can have bigger and better cars, so that we can put our kids on the most elite sport teams. And this is all purposely designed to hinder our walk with God. The very lives we live show us where our true investments are. And it concerns me that we have been duped by this world. Oh, hey, if you just miss one Sunday, it's not going to hinder your relationship with God. It will hinder your relationship with God. Trust me. And I understand, and I'm going to say this, my convictions aren't your convictions. And your convictions aren't my convictions. I know that. I understand those things. Most here probably have no idea what took place in our town last night. I'm going to share a little bit with you. And until recently, I had no idea what was even celebrated in the month of June. I had no idea what was taking place in the month of June. Last night on the 100 block of Broadway, there was a drag queen event. A drag queen event. Men dressing up like ladies, parading around the streets with very little to be on their bodies. Letting everybody around them see things that they shouldn't see with their eye. Many attended this event. Not I myself, trust me, I'm not there. Nor would I be there. But I got a text from a friend of mine last night. And he had no idea the direction I was going tonight. He had no idea, no clue. But I got a text from him as he was driving by. And he said this: "What is taking place on the 100 block of Broadway makes me sick of this town and I want to move from here." And so I asked him, "What's going on?" He began to explain to me what was going on. And in his text, he had told me there were many young people, probably the age of Candace, Jalen, Grace, Colton, at this event. And I began to think of the children who are becoming raised in this junk to where it will be normal for them. Let me say this from the pulpit as clear as I can say it. It will never be normal to me. A queer is a queer, and God's not for it. But here is what came to my mind as I begin to think about this. Where are the treasures of Open Door Baptist Church? Not long ago, this church was thriving with young kids. Thriving with young kids. Visitation was important to the teachers to keep them coming. I remember many Saturday mornings, the teachers, they would arrive here 8, 9, 10 o'clock, whatever time they would set, and they begin to go out and to visit the kids that were in the church that week. They would visit and sit with the parents, get to come to know them and familiarize with the way that they lived and where they lived. That was important. I remember those days. And I want to get back to those days. I want to see young kids where we're laying up treasures for them so that they can see God for who He is. I want young kids to come back to this church to get them off the streets so that they're no longer hanging around the places that they should not be hanging around with the events that take place in our society. I want to show them Jesus Christ. Some of you don't even know this, and I don't even know his name right now, but my wife can tell you his name. There's a young man that sat in this church that was actually in my wife's Sunday school class. I don't know what happened in life for him, but for some reason, he stopped coming to church. And I believe it was 2 years ago, he was arrested for murder. Why have we stopped investing our time into children of this community? We had our missionary here Wednesday night. His name has slipped me for some reason. And I remember him saying, in order for us to reach the parents, you remember what he said before? He says, we got to reach the kids. If we do not reach the kids of Council Bluffs, Iowa, you might as well kiss this church goodbye in the future. We need to start reaching these kids once again. Jesus closes this part out in verse number 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to start investing my time, my effort, into the children of this community. I want to see this church thrive once again with a bus route that would be so big that we'd have to get another bus route. Watching these young kids walking the door and maybe having another Graham Wilson. Most of you folks don't know who Graham Wilson is or was. Little old lady, she had nothing, but what she had was a hug for every single child that came in. I would love to see more kids come in off the street and there would be another Doc Martin in this church who would want to take upon himself to give the kids a Starburst candy every single week. We have slowly watched kids walk out of here. And I'm not putting any blame on anybody. Not at all. Don't take this that way. But this summer, there's something that I hope that will be able to take place. And that will be able to, again, to invest our treasures into this town so that we can show them Jesus Christ. We have a desire to see this church grow with strong men and women of God. We have a desire to fill our classrooms, again, not with just our children, but children of this community. Remember, our children grow up. I'm reminded of that here a few weeks ago as I begin to reminisce the very days that we walked out of that hospital and got into a little Ford Contour on a July 27th afternoon, hot as can be. She was born on the 24th, Candace. I saw you kind of look, what? She was born on the 24th. And begin to reminisce about this precious little child and how I couldn't wait for her to talk and I couldn't wait for her to walk, couldn't wait for her to drive, couldn't wait for her to graduate high school. And guess what's taking place? All those things. Life happens fast. We need to keep investing into the children of this community. The devil right now seems to be winning, but not for long. For we as a church have a great desire to see God move and work in this church and in this town. I'll leave you with this phrase. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for not allowing Pastor to lose the vision to invest into the children, into the people of this community. This place here is a place that you have put us to be soldiers for you, to put our feet to the ground, to go out and to walk and to canvas this town that you've allowed us to be a part of. God, if we're not willing to do so, then who is going to step in? If we're not going to train our young people, then who is going to train them? God, I pray that we would reevaluate where we are laying up our treasures. Are we laying them up here upon earth? Or are we laying them up in heaven? I cannot take my wealth. I cannot take whatever you have given me, cars, video games, things of that nature. I cannot take those to heaven. But what I can take is other people with me. So God, I pray that you give us all a burning desire to go out into this community to, again, invite people to this church. We thank you for the love. We thank you for the grace and your mercy that you give us every single day. We pray again as you just be with our campers, guide them throughout the week, be with the preachers as they preach the word. Lord, I know it's going to be hard preaching at times, but God, I pray that every single person will return different for your glory. And we ask it in your name. Amen.